Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Hi guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy, our spoiler section for both Scoobies and Slayers. Welcome. Today we are talking about Where the Wild Things Are, spoiler section. And I wish we could have had David and Catherine joining us for this, but at the time that we recorded the spoiler-free episode, we did not know when we were going to be starting the spoilers, so there was no plans to make this episode, but you have us for today. It's okay. There's not really a ton to talk about simply because it is, in a lot of ways, one of the lesser of quality episodes of the entire series, but there's still some like good moments. There's still some moments that kind of tie into and build or other moments later on down the line in other seasons build upon the moments in these ones. So I am kind of excited to talk about some of this stuff because we actually get to start talking about Anya in spoilers. And we didn't really get to talk about her a whole lot when we were doing spoilers in season three. And now that Spike is back, we kind of get to talk a little bit about like his and Anya's relationship. I'm sure you all know where we're going with that. But I'm going to warn you, this episode is going to be very heavy on what prophecy girls like to call Xander slander. So I just, I have a lot to say about Xander.
I don't know. It's kind of like hard to be like, there's so much to talk about in this episode because like there isn't. But I will say I forgot that there were hints of Anya and Spike thrown in this episode. Not thrown in, but like the groundwork of what happens with Spike and Anya later on is kind of played in this episode. And I completely never knew that because I never watched it. So
that's interesting. That's true. Leah, I always forget that you've never seen this episode before. So you're probably like in retrospect going, oh, wow. Okay. So some of the things, because I know a lot of people in Entropy are like, oh my gosh, they only had Spike and Anya sleep together because it was like more dramatic and which, yeah, duh. But also there was groundwork laid for that moment.
What's funny is that even though I never saw this episode, I never thought that Anya and Spike sleeping together was at all out of character or out of the blue. Mm-hmm. I felt like it totally made sense for their characters. Neither one of them really have a strong moral code for, mm-hmm. you know, the majority of the show. It's just their morality gets kind of gray because they have a loved one that makes them have to question their morality. But even still, I mean, without Xander, we saw what happened to Anya. And without Buffy, we know what Spike was like. So I think for me, it totally made sense that they relapsed in that way. And this episode definitely gave more context that I think helped. But I think even without it, it totally made sense.
Their morality was tied to them being in love or their relationship. Mm. So I feel like them, mm-hmm. as Leah said, relapsing was finding comfort in just a body near them. And even Anya says that when like Xander is throwing a hissy fit afterwards, like she's like, that wasn't revenge, that was solace. And I just love the reflectiveness in that moment, because I never saw it as that, and it wasn't painted as that, and it wasn't supposed to be that, but both their characters didn't have a moral compass outside of their relationship, so it made absolute sense to me.
Yeah, that episode Entropy is one of the episodes that I haven't seen very much, and I always forget that that moment between Spike and Anya actually happens. It is hard to watch, yes, but I always forget that it happens, because I will say one of the things I'm really thankful for with Buffy the Vampire Slayer is I feel like in any other show, and I'm just going to point fingers at Friends for a minute, I feel like there's always like a ton of the couple sleeping together. Like there's always – or they're getting into relationships with each other. There's always like a mix up of
– for sure.
That happening, like How I Met Your Mother does it, you know, Friends. Like it's kind of a basic – formula for sitcoms and drama TV shows. It's a reshuffling of the deck when
it's also
writers,
kind of lazy writing.
I was going to say, it's a reshuffling of the deck when writers are not sure what else to do with their characters.
Well, it's also, it's an easy way of spicing up the storyline without having to actually write a new interesting character. And if you notice, a lot of times in dramas or in rom-coms or, you know, the specific shows that it's always in, it either happens one of two ways. It either happens in the middle of the series, like it did with Joey and Rachel, where they don't know what to do with
it.
Yes, but it, fine, not the middle, not like the middle of the series, but it's a way of like finding time when you don't know what to do with specific characters because you know what their ending is going to be, but you don't know what to do with like kind of that like middle towards the end portion. Same thing with Robin and Barney. They knew what Robin's ending
was
going to
be. So much worse,
but
dude.
They didn't.
That's
no,
so much worse.
But it's not about them. It's not about them being worse or better, because I don't think that Joey and Rachel was done poorly. But even with Barney and Rachel, Oh my gosh, Barney and Robin, it wasn't done poorly. It was the fact that the ending was done poorly. But whatever. The whole point is, a lot of times it's because they kind of like have an ending in mind, but they don't know how to get there. And so they kind of like write that in to buy time so that they can figure out the ending. And it kind of like keeps people's interest because they're characters that people care about. But it's just like poor writing. I mean, they do that in Vampire Diaries. I feel like everyone freaking dates everyone.
No, that one's like, actually the worst.
Because they're just like, oh, like Damon is in love with Elena, but oh, now he's in love with what's her name? Caroline. But Caroline's in love with Matt, but Matt's in love with Elena. And then, oh, now she's in love with Tyler. And then she's in love with Klaus. And then it's like, oh, well, Bonnie is in love with
Jeremy.
I keep forgetting. My brain doesn't work. But
Caroline and Damon were never together, right? It was Stefan.
Well, the whole first season.
Sorry,
they
did I say Damon?
Yeah, you said Damon.
Yeah,
did you mean Stefan?
First season they like dated, although that was like low key abusive.
That was bad.
No, that was abusive. That was not consensual.
Yeah, at all. Oh gosh, I can't even get into that show.
Yeah. Well, what I was gonna say about Buffy is I'm thankful Buffy never really falls into that territory. Like they're very intentional with the relationships they have. I would say there's like maybe two times where it kind of starts to veer in that territory is in the like slightly in season three with Willow and Xander, but that was intentional, even if it was we didn't like it. And then in season six, when you had Anya and Spike sleeping together, but again, that was simply so that everyone could find about Buffy and Spike in the most inflammatory way and a way that would rile Xander up as if he wouldn't already have been riled up. And to just make it more dramatic and stuff, and also setting up for seeing Red. But we're not going to touch that episode with a 10-foot pole today because I do not have the bandwidth for that. But I just thought it was interesting that so many shows often delve into that territory of you'd have everybody sleeping with everybody or in some sort of relationship with everybody for the sake of creating drama. And I'm just thankful that Buffy never did that, because that is definitely a thing that happens. But okay, speaking of Xander, let's talk about Xander. So he's been pretty great this season, and I can't tell if that's just because like he's actually grown or just because he's not in the show very much. But either way, this is the first real complaint I've had about him. And man, he is not great in this episode. It feels very much like seasons 1 through 3 Xander and a huge step back for his character. Or I guess I should just say he's the same Xander he's always been. What were your guys' thoughts of Xander in this episode?
He just reverted back to his old self real quick.
I will say the things that I mainly remember about Xander is that interaction at the very beginning of the episode where you don't know everyone's under a spell yet. And Xander and Anya are standing in the truck. And then Anya is pretty much like, you're not interested in me anymore because we don't have sex. And that conversation is really interesting because I think that it's taken out of the context of, you know, Anya being a, you know, ex-demon and doesn't have a lot of social cues and stuff. I think that there's this stigma that men are inherently always horny. And if they're not, they're not interested anymore. And especially when someone like gets comfortable in a relationship and stuff like that, not that that goes away, but that just that, like, you know, there's more to relationship than just sex. And I think it was an interesting point to kind of take that with Anya and Xander. But then I feel like all the groundwork they make in that episode or that scene is like completely outdone when, like, you know, there's no progress with the relationship. Like, Anya voices genuine concerns. And I mean, as we know, Xander kind of does become complacent in their relationship and does almost overlook Anya in a lot of ways. And I think that that's also why she goes and has sex with Spike later on, is because it's like sex is all she knows how to offer, because she doesn't think that she has anything else.
Anya has sex with Spike because Xander leaves her at the altar, and then she they have a conversation. Yeah, but you were making it seem like Anya goes and have sex with Spike because she's not being noticed by Xander, and that's not true. In that episode, Anya and Xander have a conversation.
What I'm saying is that Xander does reach a point with Anya where he stops trying in their relationship. Like, where she's kind of like holding on. She's excited. She's excited for the next step. She wants more. She wants marriage. She wants all this. And after Xander proposes, he just flatlines. Like, he stops. And then it's like, then after he ends off their marriage or their engagement, it's like all the progress that Anya had made about relationships and viewing them differently from sex all just kind of go away because she's like, sex is all I have to offer type of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I think I see it differently. I think I understand where Xander's coming from in his fear of committing to a relationship because he doesn't want to turn into his father and his mother, which we see hints of that in Restless at the end of the season. But I think that it's not that he stops trying. It's that I think he realizes that marriage isn't actually what he wants and he doesn't know how to back out. And so then he, the last minute, ends up backing up because he's shown by the demon all those things of like what his marriage could turn into, which are not true. They're just projections and stuff. It's all his worst fears. And so he actually goes to Anya at the beginning of Entropy and says, hey, like, I still love you. I still want us to be in a relationship. I just don't know if I want to get married yet. Like, I just need time. And like, don't you want me to be honest with you? Which is a conversation he should have had with her well before he proposed to her in season 5, which we can all agree with. But Anya, it's interesting that she turns to Spike for sex. And it's not initially what she was trying to do. It happened because, like, she's telling Xander here, for her, sex equals love. Sex equals I see you. Sex and all that stuff. And so her going to Spike for sex is equivalent. I mean, I don't think she expected love from Spike, but it's equivalent to solace, comfort, all that other stuff. And so I think that we see the groundwork of that in this episode. But I also don't think that Xander ever became complacent in their relationship. I think it was just a matter of Xander, and we'll talk about it in a second. I think Xander is hugely insecure, and his insecurities took over, and he didn't know how to express himself well. Does that make sense? Is that somewhat of what you're talking about, Leah? Like, I know, like, it wasn't exactly, but like,
yeah, I agree with that as well. But I also think that that has an aspect of complacency in it. It's like when you're feeling these anxieties, when you're feeling like more than what you're letting on, but you just choose to just not address it because you're just complacent in whatever is going on.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just don't think he was complacent. I think he just was – had anxiety and didn't know how to talk to her about it. I think that's different than just being like, I don't really care. I think he did care. I think he just didn't know what to say, you know? Anyway, I mean, regardless – it still had the same outcome. I think it's interesting that in Restless, you had Xander's dream. In his dream, the only interaction he has with Anya, like where they like have a serious conversation or like they have a meteor conversation, is in the ice cream truck, which we see for the first time in this episode, which I thought was significant because that's the episode where they're talking about like sex and their relationship. And it's like their first big hurdle that they have to cross. And in the episode, Xander is actually shown to be watching himself from the ice cream. He's in the ice cream truck and he's watching Xander and Buffy talking in the playground with Buffy in the sand lot. And it's like he's stuck and no longer needed by his friend group. And interestingly, he actually sees a bit of the danger surrounding Buffy that she's not aware of yet. He sees that the First Slayer is stalking them and kind of tries to warn Buffy about it. And she's like, I'm going to be fine, Xander. And I thought that was pretty consistent with like season 7 of Xander saying that he notices things, like he sees things, the conversation he has with Dawn. But I feel like this season, Xander is floundering. And it feels like, okay, so I'm curious about your guys' thoughts with this. It feels like a lot of his issues with Anya in this episode are because he feels insecure. And I know the episode is trying to portray it like he's pushing her away because he doesn't think he deserves her. Like that's how they're trying to frame it. And he thinks that she's going to leave him anyway. But I kind of read this episode as he really wants Buffy and not Anya. And so any other girl is only going to ever take second place. And so there's almost like this desire that, or like this hope that Anya will leave him or he'll find her cheating. So he has an excuse to have her leave so that he can actually have Buffy. And I don't know, this might be a controversial take, but I kind of feel like sometimes Xander settled for Anya.
I don't think that's controversial. I definitely think Xander settled for Anya. I mean, he wasn't even willing to be in a relationship with her for the longest time because he just saw her as sex. Like they were sex buddies. And then it was like, then he realized like, oh, I have feelings for her. And then they started like casually dating. And then it was like for a while, it was like he didn't even really care if people liked Anya. He didn't really invite her around. Like, I definitely think that's absolutely fair to say that he settled for Anya. I mean, I think he does grow to love her. But I think that even the fact that he leaves her at the altar, like he was not 100% in it the way that Anya was.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I can only think of two times in the entirety of their relationship where he ever actually says his feelings and has like a good confessional conversation with her. One of them is right after he has the whole talk with Buffy about like the whole like, and it felt like he was just projecting in that moment. It was like,
oh yeah,
Riley's the one, and if you don't open up to him, yada yada yada. He goes home and then finally has the conversation with Anya, and they've been dating for over a season, more than a season, and he's like, you make me feel like a man, and blah 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 blah. I'm like, my gosh, it's been so long. Like even like Willow and Tara had a sweet moment of I am, you know, yours within a few episodes of them kind of hinting at their relationship. And I was like, oh, shoot. Okay. So we know where they're at immediately, you know? Like there's a lot more tenderness there, even though words aren't really spoken as much. And so we have that. And then we have when he proposes, which is like we had like nothing before that. And then he just proposes. So it's like, it's just the relationship doesn't totally fit for me. I want it to because I like Anya, but like it just, I rarely saw tenderness in their relationship and it bugs me. So I feel like when he left her at the altar, I wasn't surprised. It's kind of sucky because I want him to grow up, but it also just never really worked for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. I'm kind of over the whole Xander pining after Buffy, and I was kind of hoping that we were over that. I forgot about this episode that like he was still like hung up over her. But honestly, he treated Anya horribly in this episode. Like that moment where she's talking about how she doesn't feel comfortable about the initiative like the entire episode, and he's like, whatever, Anya, get over it. Like he's not listening to her feelings, not seeing them as valid. And then when Buffy and Riley are inside having sex and they're outside and Xander's like, you guys can all go, I'm going to go inside. And like, even though Anya's like, we should just let them go, even though I don't agree with Anya, Xander does not care in that moment what Anya does and whether she even, like, at that point. And then the fact that he, like, cheats on her, like, I'm sorry, he totally cheats on Anya in this episode with Julie. He had every intention of going through and kissing that girl, and he was flirting with her, and then he has the audacity to call out Anya when she walks into the same room with Spike. It's so frustrating. Xander is really frustrating to me because he has moments of really great growth in the series, but then he takes like 15 steps back and you're like, what are you doing with this character?
My biggest issue with Xander is that I feel like Xander is really observant with everyone except for himself. He is like aware of what's happening with Willow, aware of what's happening with Buffy and all this stuff. But the minute it starts to affect him, he views things so wrong. Like, if it was like Willow and like someone else, like an ex, was in the same situation as him and Anya, I feel like the advice he would give her is good. But it's the fact that it's about him that he just is like askewed. He just views life very selfishly. Like, he's like, well, yeah, I was going to talk to this girl and I was flirting with her, but I didn't kiss her. Okay. Like, do you want like brownie points? Like, I don't understand. Like, what? But it's like, but you walked in with Spike. How dare you? How dare, like, it's just, oh, he's just selfish.
He's incapable of taking responsibility for himself, but he will hold the one thing you did to him to the grave. Like, he'll take that to the grave and he'll hold that over your head for forever. Like, in Entropy, I wrote down the moment when he finds Anya and Spike, and he finds out that Anya and Buffy both slept with Spike and all that stuff. And he comes in and he goes to Anya, when this is your solution to our problems, I hurt you, so you get me back. Very mature. And then Anya says, no, the mature solution is to spend your whole life telling stupid, pointless jokes so no one will notice you're just a scared, insecure little boy. And then he says, I'm not joking now. You let that evil, soulless thing touch you. You wanted me to feel something. Congratulations. It worked. I look at you. I feel sick because you had sex with that. And I just think, no, he didn't have sex with Julie, but the blatant hypocrisy that Xander has, especially the fact that he's a demon magnet, I don't know. I understand that the writers are trying to be subversive. Joss is trying to like point fingers at himself and say, look, I'm being subversive. Look, I can be self-reflective and tear myself down and like deconstruct myself or whatever. But it's so frustrating that while Xander does have some good growth in season 7, I think it would have been so impactful if they had gone on and had Xander. I think it would actually been like incredibly subversive if Xander and Anya had gone on and gotten married, and they would have been like the stable couple of the series. Like, how cool of an arc would it have been to see Xander actually growing and becoming someone who is able to be in a stable relationship? But I think that's a little bit more than Joss Whedon could have handled.
While I agree with your points 100%, I don't think he technically cheated with Julie. Her name was. They broke up as they came in. Like, they both were like, okay, I guess we break up. Like, it's very immature how this all happened. I think it's very dumb of him to go off and like immediately like have googly eyes for another girl and then want to like hook up with her at the same party that Anya's there. Really immature. I don't think that he was cheating. I just think that, like you said, Sarah, it is incredibly hypocritical of him to kind of wave the finger at Anya for trying to flirt with Spike. And that's my main issue with him. It's like, okay, if you're not in a relationship, okay, technically you can go and do this, whatever. I think it's immature and I think it's very hurtful if you're fresh off the bat, ex-girlfriend is at the party. But then you can't just like sit there and be like mad that like she's flirting with Spike when you're doing the exact same thing.
See, my thing is, I don't think that he cheats after their fight. I think that him seeking out this girl and then her being like, oh, you know, who are you at this party with? And he chooses not to answer and he entertains her and he talks to her. I think that's where he cheated, which I get. Yes. I get some people are going to disagree with me. I have a much harsher idea of cheating. I think that seeking someone out and intentionally leaving your partner out of the conversation to further a like flirty conversation with someone is cheating.
Hadn't they broken up at that point? I'm forgetting.
No,
they hadn't.
No, they break up in the middle of that. So him and her, him and her have that conversation where she asks like, oh, who are you at the party with? And he says, right now with you. And then after that scene, him and Anya have that big blow up, and then he goes and plays the game with her and she kisses him.
I didn't remember that. I thought they showed up broken up.
No. And so that's why I say I think he cheated on her, is because he sought this girl out because he was mad.
He was a backup just in case
she was a backup. It wasn't even if they broke up. It was he desired attention and was seeking it from someone else. That's not physically cheating. It's it's emotional cheating, which to me, like, you know, and I know some people are going to disagree. Some people don't even think it's cheating until you have sex. So, you know, I get it. But to me, that is cheating. Like, he just is
I don't get that one. The whole, like, not cheating until you have sex. What the heck? So I could just go make out with everyone? What in the world?
People view things differently. But, like, I just think that it's, like, he obviously had other intentions with this girl. And didn't really care about stopping them. And I mean, even with like the kiss with the girl, it's like he wasn't going to kiss her on the lips, but then why were you playing that game in the first place?
Well, I think he had every intention of kissing her on the lips, but then last minute was like, chicken out. And we're supposed to be like, wow, yeah, look, he really does care about Anya. No.
Yeah, it's like, no. Like you, the intention to me is just as bad as doing it a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like if my boyfriend told me like, oh, I didn't have sex with this girl, but like I did think about it, I'd be like, that's so great. Love your honesty and we're breaking up. Like if you put yourself in a position where you are like almost about to do something and you stop yourself at the last minute just because you have a guilty conscience, you're not into me. Like, I just can't. And I get it. I get it. People are going to disagree with me. I know I have a harsher definition of cheating than other people. But even if you don't think it's cheating, it's scummy. It's just so scummy. And it's hypocritical to then treat Anya like that.
Yeah. And I mean, even if you don't count it as cheating, there's a discontent there and you're still kind of looking at other people. And so maybe if they're not going to – maybe if they're not cheating in that moment, they're definitely going to cheat later.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like the rules and the guidelines for each relationship with cheating is just varied per couple. So it's like, it's just different every time.
And at the end of the day, you're right, Tabs. It is personal, but I tend to think like trust, there has to be trust in a relationship. If there isn't,
there is betrayal of trust for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for me, cheating is like I'm like Leah, I have a high standard, high threshold, I guess. And I don't know if that's a high threshold, low threshold, I guess it would be. Whereas if someone breaks my trust by doing like if someone did what Xander did, I'd be like immediately, no, we're done, we're over. Even if nothing necessarily happened, because then I would be constantly like, oh my gosh, are you thinking about other women? If we got into a fight, then like what's going to happen? Like I would constantly feel like on edge. So, I mean, I guess the fandom may disagree on our definition of whether it's cheating or not, but we can all agree that what Xander did was wrong and it was 100% not okay. And it's definitely indicative of a bigger problem, which is what makes me so frustrated with this episode, because there's a bigger issue between Anya and Xander and they're sitting here nitpicking about like not having sex enough. And I'm like, you guys clearly have other issues that you need to talk through. And now that I think about it, it's actually crazy how many parallels there are between Buffy and Riley's relationship and Anya and Xander's, down to the fact that Into the Woods is the moment when Buffy supposedly is supposed to figure out from Xander that Riley's who she really wants, so she runs after him, and Xander figures out at the same moment that Anya's who he really wants, so he goes to her. Like, but this entire season 4, both Xander and Buffy don't seem super thrilled about the prospect of dating their other significant other. They're almost well, in Buffy's case, she's almost bullied into it by Riley. And in Xander's case, he just kind of does it because Anya will sleep with him and she really wants him. So he's like, okay, I'll just do whatever. So it's just interesting to see like them both kind of like in relationships that they aren't super, super excited about. But anyway, it is what it is. I can't wait till Restless when we get to like talk about like all the psychoanalysis stuff behind each of the characters, because there's a lot of really interesting stuff in Xander's that I'm like really curious on your guys' thoughts and like dive into and stuff.
What confuses me is I'll watch people, like I'll watch reactors, and everyone always like in season four is like, oh, like Xander's really grown on me. But I really think it's one of those things, like when I first watched the show, I was like, oh my gosh, Xander has grown up so much. He's gotten such a good character. He has a solid relationship. It's because it's like compared to old Xander, you're like, thank the good Lord, he's grown so much. Because he just was god awful in the early couple seasons. Then now having to like break it down. I know we've talked about this so many times, but there's so many things that I've noticed going through this podcast, for better and for worse. Sometimes I feel like it's ruined some things about the show for me because I'm having to analyze it so much. And like some characters, I'm like, ooh, I'm diving into it way too much and I'm seeing too much. But I feel like with Xander, I'm like, dang, I really in my head thought that you were so much better as the seasons went on than you actually are. And you really just are like, you know how like, you know, the whole thing that people are calling like the quote unquote like the nice guy, but the quote unquote guys who call themselves nice that aren't actually nice, that just like really hypocritical and kind of like manipulative. That's what Xander is in later seasons. Mm-hmm. He's not categorized that as the younger version because he's just straight misogynistic and insecure. He is 100% that, but I'm just such a nice guy, you know, in the later seasons. And it's oh my gosh, it makes my blood boil. But it's because they see themselves, like you guys said, like he's really good observing other people. He sees himself in a completely different way than how he actually is. Because those people are so – they just think that they're off the hook. They view themselves very differently, that they just pinpoint everyone else's issues. And that's 100% what Xander is. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm the eyes. But yet he's not self-reflective.
I know. The irony of it all. I will say I do think season 7 Xander is my favorite. And I think that – he's given some really great moments with Buffy, and I start to like Xander better than
season 7 for sure.
I like him better, start to like him better than Willow in season 7, which is really, really sad. And I will never like him over Giles, but he's given far better moments than Giles is at that point. So I am excited for some of those moments, but I don't know. It doesn't necessarily feel earned. It just feels like they're holding back with Xander and not really focusing on him very much. So since he's fading into the background, we're like, oh, wow, Xander's doing a lot. Our standard is so low for him, mm-hmm. that he's surpassing anything that any standard we had for him, because they're barely giving him anything. Versus with Willow and Giles, they were so great the first few seasons, and then the bar is lowered. But anyway, we'll get to it when we get to it. That's not to like, and I don't want to like crap all over the show and season 7 and Xander and stuff like that, because there's still aspects that I love and I'm really excited to dive into that. And there's a lot to be compassionate towards Xander for because of his home life and stuff. And I understand Xander very well, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't hold him accountable for how crap he is, or the fact that a writer and showrunner thought that this character was an actual nice guy and was like worthy enough to be his reflection in the show. So I think that's problematic, but we all knew that. So not saying anything we don't know. All right, guys, that was spoiler section for Where the Wild Things Are. Kind of a bit shorter this time around since there's not too much to talk about, but there will be a lot more to talk about next week with New Moon Rising. Oh my gosh. Our brother will be having a few things to say spoiler-wise. That's going to be a really fun one to talk about. So as always, thanks so much for your support. Definitely DM or message us or email us your thoughts about Xander, about this episode, and we will talk to you guys next time.